You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. I'm Marcus Grant. That's Michael F. Florio. That is Laquan Jones. I know we are here at a different time every week. I promise some point we're going to find a consistent time. It's just that real life keeps intervening on what is our fun show that we just sort of made up out of whole cloth. But we do appreciate you hanging out with us and kicking it in the chats already. I'm looking at there are already a ton of people in the chat.
Love it.
So shout out to you guys for being here already. Florida, we talked about this on the pod because it sort of dropped as we were talking and getting ready to talk to Emory Hunt, which, by the way, go check that out. A great conversation. Has your heart recovered? Or how are your feelings after the Stephon Diggs trade?
So yesterday when it happened, you know, you try to make sense of it. I also luckily had a pretty busy work day and stuff like that. So I was feeling, you know, I kind of went through it as a fan a little bit, like
we saw.
Yeah, you're like, this isn't good for the team. And why are they doing this? And why now? And I still don't understand a lot of the logic behind it. I know it's a good long term move cap wise, but like as a fan and as someone like who just believes you play to win Super Bowls, like, this puts them further away from the Super Bowl than they were 2 days ago. So I don't like that. But as the day went on and as I woke up today, I come to appreciate everything that Stephon Diggs gave the Bills and the best wide receiver I've watched in a Bills uniform in my life. A ton of records, a ton of great things. So just a little bit more appreciative today than I think I was yesterday.
This is the best you've seen in your life, because like you were young for Andre Reed. Were you born yet when Andre Reed was playing?
His prime, I was born, but I was like a baby, so I don't okay. Really. My favorite Bills wide receiver before Steph Diggs has always been Stevie Johnson. I love Stevie.
Oh, yeah.
But Stevie, I think, would admit this himself. Diggs kind of upped the bar a little bit performance-wise.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Stephon Diggs had a great run with the Bills. Obviously, it's over. And don't feel bad about being in your feelings, because LQ, you're still in your feelings about Aaron Donald retiring, right? Like, you're not over that yet, are you?
You see this, a 49ers fan just sticking the knife.
What? I'm not trying to kick you. I'm just saying, like, I mean, like, he had been retired for like a week and a half, and you were like tweeting, like, I still can't believe this happened. Like, I was just going off your reaction.
He was on the plane.
I was on the plane going to Jersey, like, just watching highlights, like, man, this dude's an animal. He got two more years in him, man. Come on.
Could you? Like, I just imagine you like sitting there like crushing airport beers and like getting all emotional and stuff, like on your way.
Smart
on your way back to New Jersey. You know, we didn't get your thoughts though, Laquan. I mean, your thoughts on Stephon Diggs, the trade. I mean, what does this mean for Josh Allen? What does it mean for the Texans? I mean, I saw you tweeting about Texans Super Bowl, so obviously you think yeah. This is great for Houston.
I mean, this is great for Houston. They just got a lot better. They were already a playoff contender, and like they just turned into this huge powerhouse of the AFC. And like, I'm excited for Sundays to watch Texans ball. I mean, Stephon Diggs, I think he'll fit well in that role, you know, playing, you know, with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Obviously, they'll figure out who's doing what in roles, but this elevates that offense to a whole new dynamic, you know, going into this next season.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. You know, we were kind of saying that it's great for CJ Stroud in fantasy.
Yeah.
It's going to be frustrating for anybody who drafts, I think.
Dynasty QB1. I said it last year.
Is he Dynasty QB one now?
Yes, I'm putting him up there, man. This elevates the freaking offense to a new level to where CJ Stroud has Stephon Diggs, a reliable target. Tank Dell making plays anywhere on the field. He gets the chunk yards. You have Nico Collins as an all-around wide receiver. I tweeted this also. This reminds me of the 2018 Rams wide receiver unit with Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp. All of them coexisting with 20% target shares, you know, week to week, et cetera, et cetera, where guys are going to have up and down weeks, but they're all going to be productive as solid wide receiver twos.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, you know, the week to week and how frustrating that is going to be.
Oh, it's going to be very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to figure this out yet, right? Like, not how they're going to use them in real life, but just for fantasy purposes, like, who do you think will be the steadiest? Who do you think will have, like, the highest ceiling? Who do you think has the biggest chances of disappointing? I was trying to piece them all into kind of things, and it's tough.
I think steadiest is Collins. I think highest ceiling is Dell. I think Diggs is the one who's most likely to disappoint. But This could also be like Stephon Diggs' like John Wick season, where he just goes through and is just murking defenses just to prove that the Bills made a mistake by moving on from him. Like, whether or not he can sustain that for multiple years, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if Stephon Diggs just went out and crushed this year.
I'm with you.
See, I was thinking that he would be the steadiest because I think he's kind of the chain mover there. But I could see him go. It's going to go one of two ways, I think. He's either going to go scorched earth this year, or even if the Texans have success, they're going to not give him the ball as much as he would like. And he's going to start with the cryptic tweets and his brother might start getting in and stuff like that. Because that's what happened with the Bills were winning, but he wasn't putting up big numbers that last year. And he didn't like that.
Look, man, when, you know, we always see the classic Denny Carter tweet, you know, the enemy speaks softly and carries a knife. Like, Stephon Diggs was one of the archetypes for that. It was like Stephon Diggs and Michael Thomas were like the two guys that I think were the inspiration for that tweet, for sure. Speaking of which, though, you dropped this in the sheet here, LQ. MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew, has a new mock draft out, because obviously this trade means that mock drafts kind of got blown up at this point. And according to our own Maurice Jones-Drew, no surprise, he has the Bills taking a wide receiver at number 28. He's got Adonai Mitchell. So, Flory, I mean, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on maybe AD Mitchell trying to fill that gap in Buffalo?
I like Mitchell. I think that he is a type of player, a big-bodied receiver who has a big catch radius that Josh Allen has never really played with, the receiver like that. Because I love Steph Diggs, but he relies more on like precision and timing and stuff like that, not a just throw the ball up in my vicinity and I will go up and get it type player. The issue is the Bills have kind of put themselves in a position where whoever they take, they need to be ready to make an immediate impact day one. And no offense to Mitchell, I'm not sure if he's like, he's still a downgrade from Steph Diggs. And I would say that about pretty much all of these wide receivers, unless the Bills make a Julio Jones type trade and try to get one of the big three.
Your sigh at the beginning of that statement said everything that I needed to hear. Like, I mean, I listened to your words and they were very nice and, you know, polite and very factual. But like when you just said, that's like that. You really could have just stopped right there, and like that would have told me everything I needed to know.
Pretty much.
Because AD Mitchell is kind of one of those guys that I know the people who watch a lot of tape, the scouts who watch a lot of tape, really seem to like him and think there's some upside there. The analytics folks are a little bit nervous about him because he was a guy who, for all of his, you know, big plays and the splash plays, was not a guy who earned a lot of targets there at Texas. It was sort of inconsistent. So he's, I think, a riddle wrapped inside an enigma, slathered in a mystery. I don't know. But they for sure need a pass catcher. They need a wide receiver. This offense cannot live on Dalton Kincaid alone this year.
I will say, though, if Joe Brady's taking over and really going to run this offense, I think I've tweeted this before, where if he can get the 2020 Carolina Panthers offense somewhat you know, a new identity for the Buffalo Bills. Just what an upgrade with Josh Allen, which, you know, you have a Robbie Chosen with a career high 1,000 yards. You have DJ Moore with a career high up until last season with, you know, the receiving yards as a career high. I think more so if he gets this offense to be spread out for more options where you're not force feeding Diggs, where you're not trying to rely on Gabe Davis anymore. I think if we get a AD Mitchell, he plays really well into that offense as a big body target, very savvy with his route running and stuff like that. Joe Brady can get this offense clicking with a Curtis Samuel out of the backfield slot, wherever you want to put him. I can see this offense moving somewhat forward, but still you're going to have to fill that void of not having like a DJ Moore, not having a wide receiver one, because I'm not too sure if AD Mitchell gets the wide receiver, like the first round grade from a wide receiver. I see him as a second round guy, but you know, they have to take a wide receiver at 28.
They have to take one. And, you know, Mitchell or somebody is probably going to get pulled up from being a round two guy to being a round one guy just because of that. So it's going to be curious.
Whole league knows it, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody knows it, too. Shout out to our pal Jay Felicio in the chat. He wants to know, how does the trade impact Cody Rhodes' chances of finishing the story?
I don't know.
I hope he doesn't finish the story. Cody cry, babies cry.
Cody's never going to finish the story. He's not going to finish the story. That's what it is. Jamie wants to know, Hollywood Brown or Amari Cooper? Who you got in that one?
I'm Amari Cooper all the way. Amari Cooper's been my guy for a while now because
true,
he's just underrated. Like he goes out yearly and performs. And I know people say like, oh, he's kind of boom or bust a little bit. Most wide receivers outside of the elite guys are. So, and you talk about boom or bust, that's going to be Marquise Brown. So I still think Amari Cooper is a high-end wide receiver too, and you never really have to pay that price.
Correct.
Well, and the thing about it is Amari Cooper was very boom or bust. He was certainly boom or bust with the Raiders. I think he had it a little bit when he started with the Cowboys, but I do feel like, you know, the latter part of his time in Dallas and then so far in Cleveland, he's been a lot more consistent week to week. Yeah. So, you know, I get it. I know that was always the knock on him. I'm sure I made that argument multiple times, but I feel like that's not, it's not as volatile as it once was earlier in his career. So, yeah. We're talking about the Bills. Marcel wants to know, is there any Bills receiver worth drafting now? You guys want Khalil Shakir? Silence.
I like Shakir a lot. The issue is I think he's a really good like slot number three type wide receiver for real life. I'm not sure, but it's hard to answer until we know, because the biggest piece I would say is still missing, like whoever's going to play that X, that one role. We don't know yet.
Exactly, because we know Josh Allen favors the slot, but it's more so I look at Shakir, he's still trying to develop and work into that role and trying to generate some type of volume. I just don't see it right now. And there's a lot of questions, like Florio was saying, like who they take, you know, bringing in as that one.
Dalton Kincaid is the answer.
There you go.
He is the answer.
The biggest winner.
And no, I mean, his, you know, I haven't checked his ADP, but I'm sure it is.
It's going to skyrocket.
I'm sure it's to the moon at this point. Did you guys see the Christian Kirk tweet after the Stephon Diggs trade?
Yeah.
Says, how come every time anything happens in the league, I got to catch all these strays, right? And I'm sure this has to do with, you know, Diggs's contract and the salary cap hit. Because I mean, he's not wrong, right? Like the last couple of years, every time somebody signs a contract, it's like, oh, it's like Christian Kirk. I mean, yeah.
I just thought that was funny.
I thought that was very funny.
Look. He got more money than we all thought, but it's not like he got, oh my God, break the bank type money. So maybe we got to give our boy a pass a little bit.
He earned it, man. He produced.
He earns it.
Well, that's the other part, is that he has produced, you know, since he got paid. But like, you're right. It was not a ton of money. It was just more money than we thought Christian Kirk was going to get is all.
Yeah.
That's all.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you seen the story about Jim Harbaugh and his business cards?
Not until right before this show.
So apparently he has a business card that has rules for life on them. And it's like a list of 20 rules, which, first off, I want to know how big his business card is.
That's what I was thinking. Like, what?
That he has, you know, room for 20 rules on them.
Index card.
Laminated.
It's got to be, right? So, like, here's some of them. You know, number one is seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added unto you. Like, okay. Let's see. Rule two, attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. His third is the who has it better than us? Nobody. You know, that he became famous when he was coaching the 49ers. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Number eight, choose a great role model, watch them, emulate them, then make them proud. Number 10, discipline yourself daily to be physically fit for life.
Wow, that's a good one.
That is good advice.
That is good advice. Number 12, here's number 12 I actually kind of like. Stop trying to win all your fights in the first round.
That was my favorite one. Like,
all right.
I have that. I try to finish everything the moment I get it started. And it's like, no, that's not smart.
No, yeah. I'm more of like, I tend to wait until like the later rounds to actually start fighting. Which is probably also not the best way to live life. But, you know, that's kind of what I do. Some of the other good ones here. Seek long and trusting friendships by being happy and helpful for the other guy's success.
16 is my personal favorite.
16. The only job you start at the top is digging a hole.
Wow. Bars. He got that one.
Not really wrong.
That from like online or something like that.
Yeah, he should do a quote book. He should write a book and it's just all quotes. That's it.
No, literally, I should, you know, just take these and like, you know, find that picture of like a little kitty cat hanging onto a branch and just put all these quotes above them or something like that, and see if I can, you know, sell some posters that way or something like that.
Wow.
Let's see, number 18. Here's advice: ABCs for picking a school: academics, ball, college environment, which, you know, I'm sure that, you know, he uses that for a lot of recruiting. That makes a lot of sense. 19, the three keys to happiness in descending order. Number three, pick a job you love. Number two, outwork your competition. Number one, marry wisely. He's like, smart. Wow. All
right. Seems like him and his wife were having the yard sale the other day. They seem like they're pretty happy still. Like, good for him.
Good for him. And now he gets to move to Los Angeles and, like, you know.
Isn't that a good gig?
I'm sure he's going to live out near the beach or something like that. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. So, it feels like Jim Harbaugh is doing all right. I still want to see what the card itself looks like, that he has room for, like,
please,
20 things.
Small, tiny font. Font 4.
Right. Like, I was like, does he have them all on one card, or is it like a fortune cookie where like you just get one and every card has something different on
That'll
it?
That'll probably be better.
Know? Right? It probably would be.
Get it done.
Did you see him saying that if the first four picks of the draft are quarterbacks and the Chargers have the first pick of the draft?
I mean, is he wrong though? I mean, like, because four is sort of where it gets... Well, right now, I think four is where it gets interesting, right? Because the first three are going to be quarterbacks, right? Yeah. Caleb, and then we'll figure out who's 2 and 3, whether it's, you know, Daniels and May or May and Daniels. 4 is where it gets interesting. Although, you know, look, the Cardinals probably taking a wide receiver at 4, right? Like,
yeah. Or they trade down.
Or they trade out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they trade out and somebody takes a quarterback. So 5, yeah, 5 actually might be. I'd say 4 is where it starts. 5 is for sure where it starts.
Yeah.
Do the Chargers take a wide receiver? I think that was sort of the belief at one point.
I
don't think so. That's I'm on Florio's page. I don't think
O-line all the way, I think.
Yeah. Do they take Alt or somebody like that?
Or they're another team that trades down. Who knows?
I think more than anything, they trade down.
Yeah, because I feel like the Cardinals and Chargers are in the best position to trade down and just rack up some picks. And even the Cardinals are known from trading back and then trade back up. You know, they traded down from 12 to forget where and then back to 6 to get Paris Johnson. It's crazy. Up and down, up and down.
Yeah. I think hearing Harbaugh, by the way, talk about building a team and talking about offensive line and how vital offensive line play is, that to me screams we are not taking a wide receiver at number 5.
The two positions they need, O-line and wide receiver, are, look, I am no O-line expert. But from everything I read by people who do it a lot more than I do, those are the two deepest positions in the draft this year.
Yeah, I think that was what Lance Zierlein had too as his deepest positions in this draft. Some of the questions in the chat, Marcel asking, what will the Bills trade for T. Higgins? What do the Bills have to trade for T. Higgins?
They have a ton of draft picks.
Yeah, but I feel like they need them now.
Yeah, yeah, they have 10 this year. Steph Diggs went for a second round pick. I know T. Higgins is younger. The trades that people are throwing out on social media right now are like, this year's first, this year's second, next year's second. I'm like, no.
He's a dynasty in your fantasy league.
He's on a 1-year deal.
Yeah, no. Not worth it.
I do feel like when we, you know, people put out trade requests, like, hey, what should so-and-so get traded for? Like, when you put those out on Twitter, like, people turn in, it's like Madden or something. Like, what can I get for it?
It's not their money they're playing with.
I mean, would the Bills trade for T. Higgins? Before we even get to what the compensation would be, like, does it even make sense for the Bills to trade for T. Higgins when you can get somebody in the late first or second round?
What I would love for them to do is, because I was upset that Diggs only fetched a second, but then people were reminding me that Keenan went for a 4th and Amari Cooper a few years ago went for a 5th. So especially veteran wide receivers do tend to go for a little bit less. Like, I've heard T. Higgins' name. I've heard Tyler Lockett's name floated out as Justin Jefferson is the cream of the crop, but he's not going to get traded. I would love, though, for them to go out and get a veteran like that, someone to kind of lead right away, and then still use a draft pick on a young wide receiver to be the long-term answer.
Yeah. So, kind of what the Panthers did.
No, not having Adam Thielen.
I just meant that they had a veteran in there in Adam Thielen, and they're going to try to build the wide receiver.
Yeah, try to build around.
I wouldn't necessarily emulate the Panthers.
Although the Bills' entire regime right now comes from Carolina.
Not good. Not good, buddy.
Somebody actually pointed out, too, look at where the Texans and Panthers are right now. And compare that to where they both were this time last year. You know, they were both, you know, coming off awful seasons. They were both picking high in the draft. They were both targeting quarterbacks. The Panthers gave up all of this draft capital. They draft Bryce Young with nothing to put around him and were awful. The Texans get CJ Stroud. To go with. Now look, let's not do revisionist history here, right? Like, nobody thought that the trio of CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell were going to be lights out the way they were last year. It turned out to be great, but let's not pretend that we all thought that this was going to turn out that way. But now, you know, they loaded up. They go get Joe Mixon. They've traded for Stephon Diggs. You know, D'Amico Ryans is going to get that defense great, I think, in short order. Like, I totally believe that. Like,
yeah.
They have gone in the space of 12 months, the Houston Texans, to being Super Bowl contenders. People are talking about them as Super Bowl contenders. The Panthers are still stuck in the driveway. That's it.
They remember when the Texans beat the Colts And they were like the laughing stock of the league because they didn't
lose. Like, yeah, you messed up your draft pick. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, and now they have the reigning offensive and defensive rookie of the year. Their head coach tied for coach of the year in votes. Yeah. They kept their OC. Like, you, it's the only team that rivals them for best last 12 months, I would say, is the Bears.
Yeah. Well, and the Bears, yeah, you know,
look, they're just getting there.
They're getting there, yeah, right? They're almost there. Know, could you imagine what happens if the Bears don't draft Caleb Williams?
Oh, throw the whole draft away. Start over.
Do they? Well, I mean, I know. Look, I know Adam Rank said if they don't draft Caleb Williams, he's going to like stop watching football and he's going to do like an Arsenal podcast or something like that.
Boo. Cynthia said if she was the Bears, I don't want to misquote her, but I believe what I remember her saying the other day was she would take Jaden Daniels.
I know she's big on Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I do know that she's big on Jaden Daniels. I feel like drafting Jaden Daniels is like a Justin Fields redo.
Justin Fields.
Yeah, like a skinnier Justin Fields. Like, I think it's a Justin Fields redo, and I don't know that's necessarily, you know, he was for good, that, but I think, just if you're a Bears fan, if you're a Bears fan, you're like, well, why did we do this? We could have just maybe kept Justin Fields. I know the price tag's different. I know the price tag's different, but the skill set is like,
okay. I keep saying this about Caleb. You know how good of a prospect you have to be where the biggest knock is the color of your phone case and how you paint your nails?
You have a pink phone case and pink fingernails. Like,
that is the definition. I'm gonna throw a 70-yard strike past you. Try to stop it.
That's the definition of prospect fatigue. Like, for sure, right? Like, we are nitpicking now, trying to figure out what is, like, this is what's wrong with Caleb Williams. Like, all right, man, you got nothing. Give me something else.
That's the fantasy streets.
You got nothing at this point. For sure, for sure. All right, I think that's about it for this week. We appreciate everybody jumping into the chat. All your questions. MV Papero saying the Bears haven't come this far just to come this far. Don't overthink it. Take Caleb.
Hey, shout out Papero. That's my English teacher, man. What's going on from high school?
Oh!
You got your barber and your English teacher in here, man.
Big jersey. Let's go.
Laquan Jones, this is your life. Like, that's what the show is now. But whatever.
You're going to have a whole segment, Taylor Ham versus Pork Roll now, just to appease my jersey. God.
Oh, we might have to do that. Actually, I'm going to start calling what did I say? I'm going to call it like Taylor Roll and Pork Ham or something like
he
that.
He combined the two, which was terrible.
I'm going to do that just to annoy you is what I'm going to do.
So, 49ers fans, people.
Anyway, thanks everybody for jumping in the chat. We appreciate you hanging out and watching it. Go check out the podcast. The link to the latest podcast is in the chat there. There it is. Pork Roll. Pork Roll and Taylor Ham. Wait, those are the actual ones, huh? No, pork ham and Taylor Roll.
Pork ham is my favorite one.
Pork ham. Toxic.
Pork ham and Taylor Roll is what we're calling it for sure. Look, if there can be turkey bacon, we can have pork ham. We can just do that. Anyway, that'll do it for this edition of the Cheat Sheet. We'll be back with you next week for the podcast. We'll be back with you next week for the streaming show. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.